Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Prep sports. But like he said over the weekend, he said it's working. I've been to these stadiums. It's working. We have one school completely shut down, and another school has quarantined its whole football team. How in the hell is that working? I mean, yes, it's not every school has not been shut down, but already one school has been shut down, and another school has 41 players in quarantine, and I don't know how you can say that's working. By the way, someone gave me the play-by-play of the CBHS Bartlett game.
Mm-hmm.
Did you revel in that? Like, who do you root for in that one? Bartlett pulls the upset. I tweeted congratulations to Bartlett, and some CBHS fans were unhappy with me that I only tweeted about them when they lost, but I tweeted about them because it was a big upset for Bartlett.
Yes.
I would not have tweeted about them if CBHS had won. I tweeted about them because it was a big win for that Bartlett program.
Yes, CBHS.
How are you on this one? Because CBS just beat your ass.
Yes.
And then they turn around and lose to Bartlett. Are you rooting for CBHS because, you know, whatever, or not in that game?
That's the problem. Like, anything that I say would come off sounding like
bitterness. Bitterness, right.
They won convincingly and whatnot. But my biggest takeaway when the way that they beat my beloved Owls was still wasn't like, overly impressed with CBHS. Like, in terms, I was impressed with their offense and defensive line. They have dudes, like unbelievable dudes. But like, I wasn't like, oh my God, this is a juggernaut. So in general, I would prefer for the teams in our division and conference to win because it, you know, right. I think it kind of bolsters that. But I'm pretty laissez-faire on that.
Anyway, I hope the Big Ten votes to play. I would like to have more football. It was a little thin Saturday, didn't you think?
It still feels on college Saturdays. Yeah,
it's a little thin.
In 2 weeks, I think I'll assess.
All right, we're gonna take a break. Come back, talk NBA with Chris Harrington, then a little more NFL. After that, it's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Everywhere you look these days, things are starting to come back. Football, school, the institutions that make up the fabric of our lives. So there's no better time to come back and visit another enduring Memphis institution. Oak Hall. Seriously, if you haven't been back, stop in and see them today. You'll find the same helpful people and the same beautiful clothing. I know I always feel restored just walking through the place. Pick up some shorts or knit shirts from Peter Millar. Get yourself something for the outdoors. I've loved stopping in at Oak Hall on a fall weekend just to browse. And since you'll likely be watching the football games on TV this year, it's a way of getting a little taste of normal back in your lives. During the last 6 months, I think we've all learned how much relationships matter. Relationships with family and friends, and also with the institutions and places that we hold dear. For a whole lot of Memphians, Oak Hall is one of those places. So stop in and see your old friends sometime soon.
Are you looking for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, life insurance, business insurance? If so, this is Gary Parrish encouraging you to get in touch with Elizabeth Rook Insurance, a second-generation local agency that's been owned and operated since 1981. It is the home of the Erie Rate Lock. What's the Erie Rate Lock? It's a way to lock in your auto rates indefinitely. Each year you don't have an accident, your deductible drops by $100. Your first accident is forgiven. And let the record show that lower than normal rates are now available, which is great because if recent events have taught us anything, it's that every penny matters. Listen, you have a local doctor, your local dentist, your local lawyer. You need your own personal local insurance agent too. So please get in touch with Elizabeth Rook Insurance, which has two offices in the Memphis area. One is in Lakeland on Canada Road. The other on Highway 51 in Covington. You can reach Elizabeth Rook Insurance by phone at 867-SAVE. That's 867-7283. Or you can visit online at rookinsurance.com. Again, That's rookinsurance.com.
There's a lot of famous Joes out there. Heck, there's even a lot of average Joes out there. But in the auto collision repair business, there's no one more famous than Joe Stewart Body Shop. Family owned since 1969 with an A-plus Better Business Bureau rating, Joe Stewart specializes in the luxury lines like Mercedes, BMW, Jaguar, Land Rover, Acura, Honda, but they can make any vehicle shine like new again. And they've been voted a Memphis Most Best Auto Body Collision Repair 7 years running by the Commercial Appeal. Call 901-323-2296 in Memphis or 901-850-0022 in Collierville or visit online at joestewartbodyshop.com.
Bugs bugging you? Call Allied Termite and Pest for a free inspection today. 754-0454. Stop a pest problem in its tracks and ask about the Allied Guarantee. Prompt, reliable. Allied Termite and Pest. Call them today. 754-0454.
Memphis is home of the blues, barbecue, and Blue Note Juke Joint. It's bold like the blues and smoother than smooth. Enjoy it neat, on the rocks, or in a cocktail. Ask for it at your favorite liquor store, bar, or restaurant. Blue Note Bourbon Juke Joint.
I'm John Meacham, author and historian. I'm proud to present a brand new limited podcast documentary series called It Was Said, where I guide you through 10 of the most historic, impactful, and timeless speeches in American history.
Let the word go forth from this time and place to friend and foe alike.
We do not want our freedom gradually, but we want to be free now.
The future will always be ours.
The America of John McCain is generous and welcoming and bold.
Mine eyes have seen the glory.
Directed and produced by Peabody-nominated C-13 Original Studios in association with History. It Was Said is now available for free on Apple Podcasts, Radio.com, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Mid-South's number one for sports. WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. On the Radio.com live and rewind anytime. Smart speakers just say, play 92.9 ESPN. Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies and beyond every weekday around 10 a.m.
Chris, what are we listening to?
That's Pressure Drop by Toots and the Maytals. Toots Hibbert, reggae star, finally died over the weekend after a few weeks battle with coronavirus. I had written about him last week in the Essential Memphis Library off of the record he made in Memphis, but that is my favorite Toots song.
Okay, a couple of games over the since we last spoke. Boston defeated Toronto. Your thoughts?
You know, like went down to the last minute. I think it was similar to what we've seen a lot, where Boston, on the whole, just looked like a better team. You know, younger, bigger, and more dynamic. But Toronto just fought so hard that they made it a close series, and it went down to the final minute. Could have gone either way. If Marcus Smart doesn't have that incredible block, you know, in transition against Norman Powell, if Kyle Lowry doesn't foul out, maybe it goes the other way. But you know, it's hard not to say that the better team didn't win.
What do you think Marc Gasol does now? I mean, you don't know. How does any of us know? But like, what are the options ahead for Marc Gasol? He's an unrestricted free agent.
Well, I mean, you know, the options are several. I mean, I don't see a big deal for him, or certainly a multi-year significant deal for him. Toronto is a team that I think is going to be in transition a little bit, but it could be that there's sort of a slight delay in that. I could definitely see him coming back to the Raptors on a one-year deal or you know, maybe a multi-year deal where the second year some kind of team option. Like, I don't think they're going to have money invested in him going into the summer, the off season after the current season.
Right.
But I could definitely see him going back to Toronto on a one-year deal. I could see him going to some other contender on a one-year deal. You know, I think a team like Boston, honestly, you know, what do you think, what do teams think the Sixers are going to be next year? Because it might be that Gasol's best use really is as a Joel Embiid stopper, if you think that matters in the playoffs. I think, you know, a backup center for a team that needs a good defensive option in the middle against certain matchups makes a lot of sense. I could see him in Boston on a one-year deal. I could see him in the Clippers. With the Clippers on a one-year deal, they could use him right now probably against Nikola Jokic, given like what they have. So, you know, I think he's on a one-year deal or a one-year fully guaranteed deal, either back in Toronto or some other contending team. Would it shock me if he just said, you know, I'm done here. I've won my title. You know, I don't want to go around hunting another ring. I've already got one. I got plenty of other stuff in my life. It wouldn't surprise me if he just walked away. But I think the most likely scenario is he's either back in Toronto or on some other contending team on a short-term deal.
Yeah, it was interesting. Someone asked me, I don't know, on one of these shows, if I thought he would walk away. And you can totally imagine him walking away because he does have other things in his life and he likes his garden and whatever else and he's got his title. But, like, Pau kept playing as long as he possibly could. You know, he played for Chicago.
I mean, it's a pretty good life to play basketball for a living and make, like, $10 million a year doing it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, like, if someone's going to pay you $10 million or $5 million or whatever it is to, like, be on an NBA team, like, I don't know, like, well, why not do that?
Is Pau playing again? Pau, by the way, his daughter arrived, and her middle name is Gianna, which in honor of Kobe's daughter, who died with Kobe in the helicopter crash, and Vanessa Bryant is his daughter's godmother. Is he now playing in Barcelona? Did you pick that up?
I don't think so. Pau was on the Pau was last on the Blazers roster, but basically had season-ending injury.
And then he left, right?
And I think he's just been out of commission health-wise. He has not officially retired, I don't think. And so I don't know what the situation is with Pau. I think he's effectively done. I'll be surprised if he plays in the NBA again.
Do you think Mark has things to offer? You do, as in that limited role going up against the center matchup.
Toronto was, the second or third best defense in the NBA this season. Mark Gasol is starting center. So, yes, I think Marcus also has stuff to offer. He did not have a good playoff. That's certainly true. And particularly against Boston, I think the matchups were great for him. But Marcus Gasol is still, like, a very, very good defensive center, a good passer, ball mover. I mean, obviously he's if he's a starter, he's going to be a fourth or fifth option offensively. He's probably better for him at this point to be either a backup or a platoon center, which is sort of what he was in Toronto with him and Serge Ibaka. Like, they have the two different looks, and they can sort of go in different directions. But, yeah, Marc Gasol, if he wants to be, is still a rotation player on a good team.
Okay, the other game, Clippers blow a lead, and now they're faced with a Game 7 tomorrow against Denver. Thoughts?
I think you're going to start with, like, Denver because they went down 3-1 to Utah.
Yep.
And fought all the way back and won that series. They went down 3-1 to the Clippers and then fought all the way back, of course, in Game 7. And Denver's a team, you know, a few weeks ago I wrote sort of on the eve of the playoffs, I wrote about, you know, teams in the West, you feel better about yourself, worse about yourself, or the same going into next season. And Denver, I think, was in the better category, and they're even more so now, for two reasons. One, Jamal Murray, and he's not been as good in the Clipper series as he was in the Jazz series, obviously. But Jamal Murray is taking a step forward. So I think you feel better about Jamal Murray as a lead guard or a primary scorer from the backcourt. And then Michael Porter Jr., I think there's still plenty of questions about him, health and defense and otherwise, but certainly he is up his stock. And now when you have those two young players to go with Jokic, who is, you know, an all-NBA player already, I think Denver has to feel pretty good. And
something's happening to your phone here. Did you move it in any way? Sorry.
Let me try to step inside. I'm outside right now.
You were good. You were good 30 seconds, 45 seconds ago.
And so, I think the momentum right now is in Denver's favor. There's no home court again in these bubble games.
the Clippers have the best roster in theory, and the Clippers certainly have the best player in Kawhi Leonard. And so I would take the Clippers, I guess, in a game seven, but the Clippers don't look good right now. And I think there are different reasons for that. I think the thing with the Clippers is they have an elite duo in Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, and then they have an elite duo off the bench in theory, and Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell, who've been wrecking teams all season, and that's not happening right now. Montrezl Harrell in particular it just does not look good. And so, you know, a game seven, that can go either way.
Okay, some other news. Mike D'Antoni, as expected, leaves Houston. And now there are six job openings. Indiana, you don't have to rank them in order, Indiana, Houston, the Sixers, Oklahoma City, the Bulls, and the Pelicans. Which of those strike you as particularly attractive and which particularly unattractive?
I think the Rockets thing is a little bit of a mess, and I don't see how it – I think, you know, in terms of who's going to be better next season, I mean, the Rockets still have James Harden.
Right.
But I don't see – to me, the path – the trajectory is down, not up in Houston. I think the Thunder, I think you know what you're getting into.
Right.
You're getting into a rebuild with a good front office and a lot of good assets, and as long as they're willing to have patience with you, I think – the future is pretty good there, but it's going to take a downturn next season. But I think they all know that. So I think that's a pretty good situation. You know, the Bulls, to me, the Bulls is a little bit of a mess. I mean, there's young talent there, but there's no clear go-to guy. Ownership has been, it's been iffy. I wouldn't feel great about that situation. I think the Pacers, you can be good next season, but I think there's a cap on what you can be with that talent. And so it feels like a team that's going to hit its head against the ceiling of being a second-round playoff team for a few years and then have to blow itself up again. The Sixers was interesting because the Sixers has the elite talent in Embiid and Simmons, and it's a matter of can you get that figured out or is there a trade? If you can't, you can trade either of those guys for a big return. So I guess I kind of like the Sixers as a shorter-term being able to compete and the Thunder as a longer-term play.
You haven't mentioned the Pelicans yet.
Oh, the Pelicans. That's the one I forgot. And the Pelicans, since of what you think about Zion, right? You have Zion. You have Brandon Ingram. Presumably they re-sign him. I would put that more in the positive category. So I would think the jobs I'd be interested in, depending on the kind of coach I am and what I wanted to do, would be the Sixers, the Pelicans, and the Thunder.
Interesting. The Grizzlies have two assistants, I think, since we last spoke. What can you tell me about either one of them? Or both of them?
I mean, nothing that's not in their press releases, honestly. You know,
go ahead.
One's coming from a college background and has the kind of sort of brainy background that the Grizzlies seem to like. The other has NBA experience and international experience, which is something else they seem to like. And you know, they both seem to be replacing a different degree for different, in terms of demographic markers and, you know, they're sort of replacing who they're
exactly,
replacing
yeah,
pretty directly.
Yeah, they're placing exactly what they sort of were. Yeah, exactly. The Sonia Rahman one is interesting. Of course, she's the woman who was the MIT coach and another lawyer, which is good to get another lawyer in there because they're in case they're a little short on their legal advice. But, yeah, she's brain. And I, like, they very clearly, this is, I suspect they intentionally hired a woman. And I suspect they intentionally hired, you know, someone who was brainy. And those are good things, isn't it, to add perspective to the staff?
Sure, but, I mean, we're not in those meetings. We're not in those practices. Who knows? I mean, the team's been here 20 years. What are the most consequential second-tier assistant coaches in franchise history?
Dave Yeager.
Dave Yeager was the lead assistant.
second-tier assistant. Yes. Yeah, no.
These aren't just assistant coaches.
Yeah.
They're
way down the bench. Yeah, well, in fact.
So, like, who knows?
Right. Even assistants, like, even top tier. Who is the most consequential? Yeager's the most consequential assistant, partly because we know because he ascended to be the head coach.
Right.
But he also, he was and maybe this is part of the whole, you know, those who think he's a manipulator, he was also a very high-profile assistant. He courted media. He was the defensive guy. You know, he was Who else have been high-profile assistants?
Lionel was Harrison's assistant before he was the head coach. He didn't go immediately from one to the other. He went away and came back. He was an assistant, you know, under Hubie, and I think under Fratello. And then that shorter term, Jeff Bezdelic and Kevin O'Neill, people may forget, were sort of defensive coordinator kind of assistants. J.B. Bickerstaff, obviously.
Who did Hubie have?
Well, he had Lionel, unless I'm forgetting something. He had Lionel. He had Hal Whistle, who was the shooting coach. Right, he had his son, Brendan Brown. And I can't remember who else.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will wait, and we'll talk to you about the Boston-Miami series tomorrow. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
That is Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. Cooper Systems, I saw someone on Twitter yesterday saying, would someone stop sending me things to print out because I don't have a printer? Millennials, the idea was millennials don't have printers. So stop sending us things to print out. Do you think that's true? Millennials don't have printers? And if so, why don't they go to Cooper Systems and get a printer?
Yes, I do think it's true.
Millennials don't have printers.
Yeah, in general, yes.
Well, be a grown-up, millennials.
Yes.
And go to Cooper Systems and get yourself a printer. 360-9679, 360-9679 is the phone number to call, located in the Mount Moriah office park. You can also, while you are there, pick up, like an Apple laptop or a Lenovo laptop or a Dell laptop, or you can have them build you a gaming system. Millennials do that, don't they?
Don't
they want fancy whiz-bang gaming systems?
All the screens.
With all the bells and whistles and jet firepower, you can do that. They can build a computer completely to your specifications. The phone number again is 360-9679, 360-9679. It is Cooper Systems. They're located in the Mount Moriah office park. When we return, because yesterday was so much fun, we are going to talk more NFL. And what struck me more than anything was what we learned about quarterbacks. Let me ask you this, though. Did we learn something about quarterbacks, or was it just one day? In other words, it's shocking to me there were bright line quarterbacks who had great days.
Yes.
And bright line quarterbacks who had crappy days. There were a few in the middle.
Yeah.
But most games you can go through and go, boom, this guy, is it a muddle?
I think yesterday was more correlation than an outlier. So I think yesterday
it was clarifying. It helped clarify for us the reality of what these quarterbacks are.
Yes, I do think in general.
We'll go through them when we return. Plus a couple of big games tonight as our fun continues. More NFL on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Jeff Calkins.
You called Arthur Smith, who's a Memphian originally. Of course, his father's Fred Smith, and he's the offensive coordinator of the Titans. You recently called him the most underrated offensive coordinator out there.
Because his knack for play calling is exceptional.
The Jeff Calkins Show, weekdays 9 a.m. till 11 a.m., 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station. Get us on Instagram, instagram.com/92.9ESPN.
I like being in the public eye, but I'd rather be with friends I trust in a place where I feel safe. I'm Andy Wise, and that's why I joined the Crescent Club. I can be myself at the Crescent Club. My friends and clients appreciate its discreet service and social distancing, and let me tell you, there's nothing like having Chef Billy Boyle whip me up something he learned from one of the best kitchens on the planet and then enjoy a cocktail on the ninth floor watching the sunset over East Memphis. 6075 Poplar Avenue, the Crescent Center, 901-684-1010. The Crescent Club is the wise choice where you belong.
Right now, it's more important than ever to be there for each other. There are simple steps we can all take to care for our mental health and prevent suicide. From learning the warning signs and knowing what to do if you're worried about someone, to having a real conversation with a friend, to bringing education programs to your community. We all have a role to play in saving lives. Together, we hashtag keep going. Learn more from the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention at afsp.org/keep going.
So are you the type of guy that wants to look put together but doesn't want to spend hours shopping? I hear you. This is why there's Stitch Fix, your personal styling service that delivers hand-picked clothes right to you. Stitch Fix is simple and convenient. Sign up in just a few minutes. Try new styles in the comfort of your own home. And there's no subscription required ever. So, isn't it time to refresh your look? Get started today at StitchFix.com. Stitch Fix, personal styling for everybody.
Why so serious? So raise your glass if you are wrong. Get over right away.
Spilled your drink? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills and messes quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading value brand. So you can get back to the party. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
As you get back to business, small things can make a big difference. Like marking safe distances with floor tape and posting reminders to wash hands. As always, Grainger is here to help. Offering supplies and solutions for every industry. Free access to product specialists, 24/7 support, safety recovery guides, and more. It's part of our commitment to help you adapt and recover in these challenging times. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
From muscle pain, body aches, to strains, Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis. It works fast and you won't stink. Its unique formula with emu oil penetrates deep to relieve arthritis pain, sore muscles, joints, and more.
There was a tree in the middle of a yard. The prettiest tree that you ever did see. And the ALB goes around all around, and the ALB goes around, and on that tree there were some holes, the ugliest holes that you ever did see. And the holes on the tree, and the trees in the ground, and the ALB goes around all around, and the ALB goes around, and in that hole there was some frass, sawdusty frass that you ever did see. And the frass and the holes, and the holes on the tree, and the trees in the ground, and the ALB goes around all around, and the ALB goes around.
Now there's no more tree in the middle of that yard. It's the deadest tree that you ever did see. Because the beetle killed the tree, and the tree hit the ground, and the ALB still goes all around, and the ALB goes around.
Spot the signs and stop the Asian longhorned beetle. Learn all the signs at AsianLonghornedBeetle.com.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Talk about NFL as much as we can because it was an absolute blast. And what was really striking was the quarterback play, because it was either really, really good and interesting or really, really crappy and interesting. And I'm going to start by giving you your total props, your total props. The one thing I actually rarely doubt Jeffrey on any longer is quarterback evaluation. I don't know that you've been wrong. Like, maybe Baker. Maybe you'll be wrong about Baker.
Sure.
Like, Baker's a guy who we were talking about earlier. Does situation matter?
Yes.
He doesn't even seem to be accurate now.
He was accurate
at Oklahoma, and he's not even accurate
now.
Well,
and he was accurate his rookie year. And then last year, he started missing high a lot. And yesterday,
he wasn't accurate.
It was tough to watch.
So it was. Well, we'll get to him in a minute. But my point is that you're rarely wrong about quarterbacks, and you have been down on the Phillip Rivers thing from the beginning. Washed, bad signings, not going to make a difference in Indianapolis, etc. And what does he do? He goes in and throws picks as they lose to Jacksonville. Your assessment of Phillip Rivers looks spot on. Go ahead and take your victory lap.
He was who we thought he was. And while yesterday I didn't have the opportunity to have the promo for 60 Minutes coming up right before Phillip Rivers threw his, of course, game-losing interception, I did have the opportunity to still watch it right around 2:45. Give it to me, Phil. Give it to me. Boom! Didn't disappoint. The difference in the game? 2 interceptions. The Jags got 10 points off those turnovers, and Gardner Minshew on the other end was 19 of 20.
So the Gardner Minshew thing, again, this is a story of good quarterback, bad quarterback yesterday. Gardner Minshew is, everyone says he's there waiting for Trevor Lawrence, right? There's, Trevor Lawrence is going to be there. They're waiting for Trevor Lawrence. Well, he has an opportunity to win the job, but he also has an opportunity to make sure that they don't get the pick where they can pick Trevor Lawrence, which is what he did yesterday. 19 of 20. Now, not big numbers, but efficient, red zone, good. And let's be honest, you weren't that. I saw you tweeting about Trevor Lawrence again, too.
I'm still in the same boat that I am with Trevor Lawrence. I'm not saying that I think he's a bum or whatnot, but can we please knock it off with the he is a generational type quarterback that will never have failure. He still really struggles with accuracy, and he's very slow to go through a progression. And you can be very slow to go through a progression when you're at Clemson because you've always got the better team. Don't really get that luxury in the NFL.
Okay, onward. Tom Brady, of course, was, I guess, the biggest quarterback story, right? The biggest quarterback story, I think.
I think it had to be, right?
Throws a pick six. He has now thrown a pick six in three straight games. Pick six in three straight games. The last player to do that? Any guesses?
Eli?
Matt Schaub.
Ah.
Matt Schaub threw three pick sixes in three straight games in 2014 and 2015. If he throws another pick six against the Panthers next week, he will tie the record for most with four straight pick sixes, and he will tie Matt Schaub.
Take that for data.
Matt Schaub. He threw four in a row in, can you imagine that, four games with pick sixes. Now, it's a little different when they're separated by an offseason.
Sure.
And a new team, et cetera.
But yeah, Schaub was consistent. He did it the whole year.
We said this earlier, though. We don't think he looked washed.
No. I from a physical perspective, I did not think. I thought yesterday their struggles were the fact that they were putting together a brand-new offense.
In the meantime, the guy he was playing against, Drew Brees, did not look great. First of all, they were unbelievably conservative play call, I thought. You know, he had that one throw to Jared Cook, I think. It was like a 40-plus one yard. But he averaged 5.4 yards per attempt. That's it.
And he wasn't particularly accurate.
So the story, by the way, there was also the story over the weekend that had he retired, they were thinking of making a push for Brady in New Orleans.
It wouldn't have surprised me.
And completed just 60% of his passes.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't throwing, and they were not good on third down. They were 5 of 15 on third downs, and that's usually, hey, when you're throwing it a ton, I mean, the ball just has, it's fluttering, Jeff. Like, He had several throws yesterday where he even had open guys and he was missing. Like, those are just not throws he misses. And I'm acknowledge quarterbacks miss throws, but these were alarming misses for me.
All right, a lot of this is what we're going to see is they are who we thought they were.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Phillip Rivers is who we thought they were. We're going to get to Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, etc. What do we make of Trubisky? So Trubisky starts out 12 of 26 for 153 yards and a quarterback rating of 27.7, okay?
Yes.
Like, he's like, holy crap, he's horrible.
He had guys that were, like, standing open in the end zone. He was missing them by, like, 10 yards. It was unbelievable.
And then, in the last quarter, 8 of 10, 89 yards, 3 touchdowns, and the brilliant pass to Anthony Miller. What do we think?
I think what yesterday also showed me is Matt Nagy does deserve more blame for Trubisky than he probably gets. And this is one of those situations that we mentioned. Does the team, does the situation matter? Trubisky is not going to be the guy that can run Andy Reid's offense and the guy that comes to the line and is going to make five checks, reads the whole field. But there is a skill set for him. And if you watched yesterday when he's on the move, he throws pretty well on the move. He, you know, if you give him, he's a good athlete. If you give him the ability to get outside the pocket, give him levels. He's got a deep guy, middle guy, short guy. Get him outside the pocket, or he can run. He has things he can do, but they try to make him into, you know, square peg, round hole. And in the fourth quarter, they have no choice, but it's get him in the 2-minute offense, let him call his plays and whatnot, and he's not in so much of a structured offense. And once he does that and he just kind of makes plays, that's where he's at his best.
How do you think it's going to go?
I still think the biggest problem is he's not accurate.
Russell Wilson was awesome. Not only was he awesome.
Hashtag let Russ cook.
It was rush, let. They threw the ball. Like they have had Russell Wilson, who is a tremendous thrower of the football, and they have been conservative, fundamentally conservative.
Yeah, they've been establishing the run since like 2013.
In the first quarter, they had 14 plays, 11 of them were passes,
mm-hmm.
and he went 9 for 9 for 86 yards. 11 passes, 2 were sacks. So the passes that he actually got off, he was 9 for 9 for 86 yards. They were letting Russ cook. 78.5% of their first quarter plays were called passes in the huddle. Are we seeing a different?
Yes. Remember how we discussed when we saw Kansas City's offense? You go, good God. Like, there was a wow factor. And then when we were watching the Patriots offense, you saw efficiency, but there wasn't the massive wow factor. When you watched this offense, when they came out from the very beginning, there was a wow factor. There was a, this team's legitimately for real.
My guy Josh Allen, I thought he was, like, most of these you could put in one category or the other. Good story, bad story.
Yeah.
And there's a lot about Josh Allen and the Bills to like. They demolished the Jets. The Jets honestly could be the worst team in the league.
My team plays about 6-10 tonight.
They demolished the Jets. It wasn't as close as score indicated.
Not even,
as
it's no.
Their rookie kicker missed 2 field goals. So Josh throws for 300 yards for the first time ever. It's actually the first time a Bill has thrown for 300 yards since
Rob
Kyle
Johnson?
Orton.
Ah!
Kyle Orton threw for 300 yards. The first time in a win since I think Fitz did in whatever, a long time ago. He accounted for basically 90% of their offense.
Yes.
Either running, he was their leading rusher.
Yes.
He was it. Like, Josh was it. And John Brown was good. Diggs was good. Like, you saw things. But then he had put the ball on the ground twice.
Yep.
He's fumbled in last 18 games, I think 18 fumbles. And
ooh, that's Daniel Jones territory.
And
now DJ did it 18 and 13, but there's room for Josh to improve.
And he missed 2 wide open touchdown passes, one of which, as you said to me off the air, mm-hmm. no one else can make that throw.
Yes. I mean, it was the type of miss when everyone on the broadcast is like, oh, misses badly. It was the type of miss where a guy's open by 10 yards and he never even was able to get a hand on it. That's special.
In the great category, Aaron Rodgers, do you think maybe they just drafted Jordan Love to piss him off? Is it possible that they just fired it? We're not going to give him a receiver. He's got one, right?
He's
got Devontae Adams. We're going to get a quarterback to just piss him off. And there you go.
That's an interesting question.
Aaron Rodgers was awesome. 32 of 44, 364 yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks. The only one with a better QBR for the week one, Lamar Jackson.
Yes. That's an interesting dilemma because I think Rodgers functioned at his best when he hated his coach, McCarthy. And
now, like, he hates the organization.
Now he's now like, hey, we know everyone says, hey, we got to get a receiver. We got to get a running back. We got to get him some help. No. We don't need any of those things. We just need to motivate him. Let's draft a quarterback and nothing will piss him off more. Now, the big question is, what do you do? Like, you drafted Love. Like, I don't know what you do.
The reports were Love has not been good, so.
Correct, but, like, you took a first-round quarterback. Like, at some point, those guys are going to play. Like, I don't know what you do.
Okay, here's some disappointments for you. Carson Wentz disappointing. Baker Mayfield disappointing. Sam Darnold disappointing. All young quarterbacks.
Yes.
All disappointing in different ways. It's interesting. You look at that. Now, Wentz was an earlier class. But you look at the class of, you know, the Josh Allen class.
Yep.
It was Baker.
Darnold.
Allen.
And then
Josh Rosen, and then Lamar.
Yes.
The correct order right now.
Yes.
Is very clearly Lamar.
Yes.
Hey, you can't doubt that anymore, right?
No. Like, I'm Lamar.
It's Lamar 1. Rosen, who was sitting in the stands, by the way. Did you see this? He was ineligible.
Yes.
Tampa, right?
Yes.
He was ineligible, sitting in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a clear 1 and there's a clear 5. The other 3. The most effective quarterback of the 3, and I would have taken him behind the other 2, and I'm not convinced he's going to be better than the other 2. But yesterday, the most effective quarterback of the 3 in the middle, it really the order went Allen, and then Baker and Darnold were both disappointing.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, Josh Allen, I think, has a ceiling, but his floor is high because he
runs. He's such an effective runner.
And he's not like a – like
they built a really good team around him. Coddling him. How down are you on Darnold and or Baker at this point? Both disappointing. And Wentz disappointing too. You can't take 7 sacks.
No, and he's always been like he holds on to the ball. I've never had the Wentz gene.
I mean their offensive line was a mess. I think they were down to like their, you know, 4th string tackle at some point.
But like this isn't new. Wentz leads the league in sacks like over the last 20 games. Like this is kind of what he is.
It's what he is.
Yes. For me, the concern with Baker is it's clearly gotten like to him. And he's like the throws he missed yesterday and with the like he had guys that were open, they never gave him a chance. Like that's stuff that we haven't seen. But like that entire game turns. It's 3rd and 2. They've played their way back into the game at the end of the second quarter. They run a play to Odell Beckham across the middle. Baker puts it right on him, and it was going to be a big play. And Odell drops it. They miss the field goal, and then all of a sudden that game just spirals from them. And like to me, this is what happens. Like the Browns went all in on Odell Beckham Jr. The guy's a team killer. This isn't new.
Interesting. Garoppolo, the numbers were okay. 19 of 33, 259 yards, but he was not good.
Garoppolo is, I said this on Twitter, he has now taken over the mantle from Andy Dalton of he has an unbelievable ability to have a receiver open, throw the football, and then all of a sudden he's covered. He throws him covered, baby.
What did you think of the quarterbacks last night?
I thought Goff was good. I thought Dak was in a no-win situation. I mean, when you're down to an undrafted free agent rookie at right tackle, then you lose another offensive lineman during the game. Like they just
well, that's the thing. The Cowboys' offensive line has always been for the last few years their strength, and now
it just picked on. But I mean, last night I still thought he kind of was what he was. Like everyone can blame going for it if he. Like, the throw across the middle, like, he missed the throw. It was behind him, and that allowed the defender to recover and make the tackle in time. Like, he puts a good ball on him. Like, that's a big play. Like, I just still see enough misses to where I don't believe he's in that elite category, but I would never hang last night's loss on him.
Oh, no. No.
Like, at all. I think Dak is exactly kind of what we thought. If you put a good team around him, you can win and have success. If you're asking him to put the team on his back and do like what Aaron Rodgers did, I don't think he can do that.
Not a quarterback story, but other stories of intrigue yesterday. How about DeAndre Hopkins? Looked a little better than the misfits, the what they cobbled together in Houston, huh?
It turns out that maybe his best years aren't behind him, and maybe, I don't
literally
know.
Literally all time, 14 catches, 151 yards for DeAndre Hopkins.
He still looked exactly like DeAndre Hopkins to me.
He looked a lot. He did look
he's
a lot
still, like I,
he looked
I did
like
not,
the same guy who I saw destroying the Bills in the playoff game last year.
Yeah, catching everything and still had a burst. And I know everyone was kind of like, "Oh, you got to watch out for the Cardinals. Jeff, that defense is pretty good. That the Niners are usually able to run it at will on them, and the Niners started off running it at will. They made an adjustment, and they were pretty physical. And Kyler Murray's kind of a dude. Like,
no, he's good.
He's got that kind of, when he gets the ball late, you just believe in him.
And the Raiders get the first win as the Las Vegas Raiders.
Josh Jacobs was
really
awesome.
Josh Jacobs was awesome there.
And Carr was efficient. Didn't take a sack. Didn't turn it over. Like, kept the ball moving. They were good on third downs. Now, I don't really know how bad the Panthers are, but like, I thought that offense looked pretty darn good.
All right, we're going to take a break. Come back with one story you've been waiting for. It's Jeff Cockett, your 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey there. As you're driving right now, take note of the vehicle in front of you. Are you a safe distance behind? Are you approaching too fast? Can you stop in time if a collision is about to happen? There's a lot to keep track of in order to drive safely, and that's where the 2020 Chevy Equinox can help you. With automatic emergency braking with forward collision alert, now standard on all 2020 Equinox models. Right now, get 15% of MSRP cash back on most 2020 Equinox models, plus current competitive owners can get an additional $750 cash allowance. Excludes L models. Must be a current owner of a 2006 model year or newer non-GM vehicle for at least 30 days prior to the new vehicle sale. Not available with special financing, lease, and some other offers. Take new retail delivery by 9/30/20. Driver is responsible for operating the vehicle in a safe manner at all times. Certain conditions may affect feature performance. See owner's manual for important limitations and information. Visit Chuck Hutton Chevrolet, your Mid-South Chevy dealer. You've heard of the Carpenter Art Garden, right? And all the wonderful things it does for the underprivileged young people in Binghamton? Well, now the Carpenter Art Garden hires kids from the neighborhood as staff. That's due in part to a grant from Triumph Bank. And this summer, a group of volunteers from Triumph Bank will be working with the Carpenter Art Garden to teach a 6-week course on financial education and literacy. Think about all the things you know that you take for granted. How to set up a checking account, how to use a debit card, how to budget, and how to save. Triumph Bank understands it's impossible to build any kind of financial future without these basic skills. So they've put together a team of volunteers, which includes the CEO of the bank, Will Chase, by the way, to make sure the kids at the Carpenter Art Garden have the knowledge and the access that they need. That's why Triumph Bank is a different kind of bank, and that's how the people at Triumph Bank treat everyone who steps through their doors. So go to their website at triumphbank.com. They're invested in the community and in making banking easy for you.
I'm United States Surgeon General Jerome Adams, America's doctor. And all across our nation, we've taken steps together to slow the spread of coronavirus. Now we must continue to take personal responsibility to protect ourselves and our loved ones. Because even though not all of us risk a severe case of coronavirus, we all risk getting it and spreading it to others, maybe without even realizing that we're sick. So if we want to get back to school, back to work, back to worship, and back to overall health, there are things our country needs to do. We need to follow state and local guidelines, take extra precautions if at higher risk, wash our hands frequently, stay 6 feet from others when we can, and when we can't stay 6 feet from others, please, I'm begging you, wear a face covering. These small actions will make a big difference. So I'm asking you to say it with me, America. Coronavirus stops with me. You can learn more at coronavirus.gov.
Produced by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services at taxpayer expense.
Hiring can be challenging, but ZipRecruiter makes it fast and easy. We talked to Monica Starks, who needed to hire for a pivotal role at her company, GS Group.
As the owner of a construction company, finding the right people is a very difficult task. So I use ZipRecruiter.
ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology identifies the right people for your job and actively invites them to apply, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. Monica did, and that's how she found Lamont, her new project superintendent.
The job is so perfect for me. I had a career breakthrough. I would have never found this job if it wasn't for ZipRecruiter.
With ZipRecruiter, we've hired everyone from accountants to project managers to field scientists. With ZipRecruiter, we get hiring results.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Jason and John.
He is the host of the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You ever think you can convince Tennessee again to play Memphis every year?
Probably not. And, you know, having been on both sides of that rivalry, as you guys know, I mean, the view from Knoxville is really fairly pathetic. I don't know why they still have that view.
The Jason and John Show, weekdays 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station. Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Waiting around through ups and downs, waiting on something to happen. I just said.
Ryan also called me last week. He didn't believe the story about Holly Bronson, that like my banker, just because she was my banker, gave me her cell phone number. He didn't like, he was being skeptical. He said he was driving along listening to the commercial, and he said, I said, no, she's, yeah, but it that's how it works there. It is a, and I get that you'd be surprised, because your bank probably just treats you like you're whatever, just a, you know, just a, someone who they can charge fees, as opposed to a personal level of service that you will not, that you will not get anywhere else. It is Triumph Bank. Memphis Bank started in 2006, grown into now a muscular regional powerhouse with everything, all the whistles and everything else you could want, all the technology, but still that same personal level of service. Triumph Bank is investing in the community, making banking easy for you. Let's get to the one story you've been waiting for.
It's that time again on 92.9. Jeff and Jeffrey have kept you hanging long enough. It is, at long last, the one story you've been waiting for. Best Care Plumbing, Heating, and Air presents the one story you've been waiting for. Visit Best Care Plumbing, Heating, and Air at bestcaretn.com. Jeff's one story you've been waiting for. Now.
We got more games tonight as the Tennessee Titans make their season debut against the Denver Broncos. And your beloved, we have some local interest here, as your beloved Giants take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Those feel like pretty easy wins for the Titans and the Steelers. But, you know, whatever. I thought it was going to be.
Both teams are road favorites.
I thought it was going to be a pretty easy win for the Colts over Jacksonville, right?
Yeah.
And road, who the hell cares? Like, now, really?
Yeah. You know? I mean, I think that was kind of one of the big stories. One of my friends, Courtney Cronin, she used to be the digital reporter at the Clarion Ledger. She now covers the Vikings for ESPN. And she commented, she's like, it was one of the weirdest games to cover. There's like no atmosphere inside. She went home, watched the television broadcast, and she's basically just like, you know, the TV stations make it sound and feel like that it's a normal game rather than what you're seeing. The atmosphere in the actual game.
By the way, in terms of disappointing teams, we've talked about quarterbacks. Minnesota disappointing, right? Like, they had high aspirations. They're disappointing.
I mean, they were supposed to be – their defense is supposed to carry them.
Indianapolis disappointing?
Yes.
49ers disappointing?
Yes.
Eagles disappointing?
Yes.
I mean, I'm teams that are supposed to be disappointing that were supposed to be good and were otherwise, right? Are those the biggest ones?
To me, those were yesterday. Those were probably the biggest ones. I guess maybe you could throw the Texans in there, but I don't.
I guess the biggest story tonight is the return of Ben Roethlisberger, right?
Yeah, well,
team that has a lot of stuff.
And we're about to find out if 3 pounds of muscle can keep a quarterback from fumbling. Daniel Jones.
Yes.
If you want to know why I'm backing the Pittsburgh Steelers tonight, it's because they spent the entire camp telling
talking
me
about this is the
fact that
yes
yeah the fact that he
it's
put on 3 pounds of weight.
This I was listening to Jay Williams on the way in, mm-hmm. and he calls him Danny Dimes over and over again, and not like sarcastically,
yeah,
like, not like ironically.
Mm-hmm. And I call him Danny Boy Lame.
So you're not a believer. What do you think of your Giants this year?
The great thing is, I'm actually cool with hiring Joe Judge, because if you've been watching any of the,
it's been wildly entertaining.
And that's what I'm here for, because he's either going to work and be a good coach,
or
a spectacular failure. And I'd rather do that.
He's not just another guy.
Yeah, like this is either going to be like a hilarious, catastrophic failure, or he's probably going to end up being fairly successful. I am curious to see how the new look offensive line looks. You've still got a playmaker in Saquon. You've got a bunch of like number three receivers that they're making are number ones. And defensively, the great thing about us last year was we weren't really good against the run or the pass. So you got to just basically run your offense against them. Just anything you wanted to do. I'm curious to see if they've if they've shored up anything. I'm probably most interested to see the offensive line, because supposedly it's better, but I've been here before.
And then the Titans, you know, we'll see if they can do this again. Like, to me, the most interesting thing about the Titans is the quarterback. Like, is he what he was at the end of last year, right?
And also, yesterday, Vrabel was getting off the plane, and on his mask it said, give Derrick Henry the ball.
Right.
And I thought that was just great.
What'd you think of Zeke's tattoo? Said, feed me on his stomach.
It's an interesting
style. Well advised. I would have advised him against feed me on your stomach. But
it was an interesting stylistic choice. I will say
I'm going to have don't feed me on my stomach. I'm going to look down at it before I go to, you know, Memphis Pizza Cafe every day.
Yeah.
But the Titans will be interesting. And they get a break because of the injuries. Cortland Sutton may or may not play. Looks like maybe not. Like, and they obviously
it looks like there was leaning towards no, but I think most people didn't think Evans was going to play last night, and he did.
Obviously, a young QB, young weapons. Jerry Jeudy will be making his debut. Hamler, the kid from Penn State, quick little kid from Penn State. I'm intrigued to see what Denver will be.
But Drew Lock. I mean, I think he's interesting.
That's what I mean. Yeah, Drew Lock. Yeah, it's a very interesting. But I got to figure the Titans got to win this game, don't they? Like, this is one you just take care of business.
You know, they're down Von Miller. Like, this feels like a game where
if there's no Sutton and no Von Miller, that's literally their two best players.
Yes. And you got everybody back. You've made this commitment to seeing this through to the end, like this iteration of them. And this is the perfect opportunity. You're going up against a team that wants to control the football. You can do it better than they can. And I think probably the most interesting thing for the Titans this year is Tannehill a one-off.
We don't have ratings from yesterday, do we? The ratings. The ratings from Thursday were down.
They were down. They did trend up better.
They weren't down as far as they were in the fast overnights.
Correct.
I don't know. Like, I predicted they would be down mostly because people are less plugged into sports generally.
Yes.
They just care less about sports. That's, for me, the biggest reason that I predicted Thursday night would be down and was down. I will tell you, Sunday was so much fun, at least personally. And maybe I don't feel like I'm alone. Like, it felt like a national, how do you know? But it felt like a national celebration yesterday. And I'm going to guess the ratings were okay.
And I think what's really going to help, my concern coming into this was shortened training camps, no preseason. What would the games look like? Because in the end, people don't want to watch the games. But almost every game I watched yesterday was fun in some capacity or another.
And they didn't look sloppy.
I mean,
various teams look sloppy. Baker looked sloppy.
Yeah.
But, like, the games didn't look sloppy.
No, I mean, it was fairly clean.
It really makes you wonder why the hell you need preseason.
I think what yesterday proved to me is if you got your guys healthy, and everyone mostly came in healthy yesterday, it just shows the biggest difference between – you know, starters and backups. We look at every team where a guy goes injured, the opponent immediately started attacking and trying to take advantage of that, because if your starters, you know, I hope everyone's sitting down for this. When you lose your starters in the NFL, it turns out your backups usually are not that good and you don't really want them to play. It's no different than a quarterback where, like, okay, who's your backup quarterback? It's like, you don't want to know who he is because you don't want him to play.
A couple other things real quick. One is Domino's gave $100 million to St. Jude. That's good.
Thank you.
Like, that's all your tips, ladies and gentlemen, that you've given. No, not your tips. They went to the delivery people. But all those pizzas you've bought over the years. I like a Domino's pie.
I stand on the record. Like, I understand when, like, oh, it's crap pizza. You give me a thin crust Domino's.
I like a Domino's.
It's fine.
What's the one fresher ingredients? What's that one? The Papa John's. I've always liked it better than Papa John's.
We had the Papa yesterday with the wings.
I like it better than Papa's. I like Domino's better than Papa's. If I'm going, delivery chain pizza.
Papa John's thin crust, it never gets talked about. It's completely serviceable.
And then I did a column over the – it's actually up today. Kirk Whalum. Mm-hmm. It features how to get through the pandemic.
Yes.
Because Fauci said we're going to be at this well into next year.
Seems likely.
And well into next year, like before we have any kind of normalcy. And so Kirk Whalum, the – Grammy-winning jazz saxophonist, and then a guy named Trash Man, who's out on the trails. 4 hours a day, he picks up trash on the Greenway trails. And then my mom, An interesting Zoom call over the weekend when my mom was on Zoom, 95 years old, with a chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want the backstory to the chicken.
That was an unbelievable picture.
It was fun to write. And that story is not sub only, so you can read it if you, even if you're not a subscriber to the Daily Memphian. What's coming up next here on 92.9?
Here's what's coming up next.
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. They're going to be joined by Tim Brando to discuss college football, 11:25. Ryan McGee of SEC Network will join them at 1:25. Gene Otto and Jeffrey live. Connor's back today. Evan Barnes will join the Gary Parrish Show at 4:25. Jeff joins them at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. Back tomorrow. Work is done.
The Mid-South's number one for sports. WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. On the radio.com live and rewind anytime. Smart speakers just say play 92.9 ESPN.
Hey, everybody. This is Coach Penny Hardaway. When I want to throw a party for friends or family, I want it to be a taste of Memphis, and that means Corky's Barbecue. Order online or call ahead and pick up at their speedy drive-thru. And be sure to tell them that Penny sent you.
Hey, it's Jeff Calkins, and joining me today is Suzanne Hobbs, Director of Communications with Boomer Naturals. It's a U.S.-based wellness company.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.